The developer tools segment today has a nice range, from a terminal management tool that's generating genuine excitement to a new Postgres connection pooler making a specific architectural argument to someone who built a GPU at home and documented the experience on video. Let's go through them.
Herder is the terminal story, and 300 upvotes with 134 comments puts it firmly in "this resonated with the community" territory. The tagline is "one terminal to rule them all," a Lord of the Rings reference that the HN community is probably slightly too old to find fresh, but the concept underneath it is worth taking seriously. Herder is positioning itself as a unified interface for managing multiple terminal sessions, processes, and workflows in a way that's meaningfully better than Tmux or Screen or the various terminal emulator tab implementations.
The key claim from the Herder team is that it's not just session management. It has process awareness and workflow context that let you organize your terminal activity around what you're working on, not just around window geometry. Whether that holds up in practice is something the 134 comment thread was actively debating, with several power Tmux users arguing that the configuration investment in Tmux pays off at a level Herder hasn't yet demonstrated.
But the counterargument from Herder's advocates in the thread is compelling. Tmux is powerful, but its configuration surface is steep. Its default UX is hostile, and the mental overhead of managing split panes by hand is real. If Herder can deliver 80% of the capability with 20% of the friction, there's a large audience of developers who'd make that trade.
The PGDog connection pooler story is worth spending time on because the "why yet another one" framing is doing honest work here. The Postgres ecosystem already has PG Bouncer, which has been the dominant connection pooler for years, and PG Pool 2 and several others. The blog post from the PGDog team makes a specific architectural argument. Existing poolers were designed in an era of simpler deployment patterns, and they don't handle the requirements of modern multi-tenant cloud-native applications well.
The specific claim is about transaction mode pooling at scale, combined with prepared statement support, a combination that PG Bouncer has historically struggled with because prepared statements are session-scoped in PostgreSQL, which creates problems when you're aggressively multiplexing connections. PGDog's approach involves tracking prepared statement state at the pooler level, which is more complex to implement, but enables pooling ratios that wouldn't otherwise be achievable.
198 upvotes and 49 comments suggest the community found the technical argument credible. Several engineers who work on high-scale Postgres deployments weighed in positively, which is the kind of signal that matters more than the aggregate score.
The home-built GPU video is a different kind of story. The YouTube video, posted by Eric Hoshian, documents someone who started with what sounds like a modest ambition and escalated into building actual GPU hardware. The HN post score of 59 with 12 comments is modest, but the content itself is the kind of "I can't believe a human did this" engineering documentation that the community genuinely values.
Building a GPU from scratch is not the kind of project that has practical payoff in any commercial sense. The compute you'd get from a home-fabricated GPU is orders of magnitude below what you can buy from NVIDIA or AMD for a few hundred dollars. The value of the project is entirely in the learning, understanding VLSI design, memory interface architecture, shader pipeline organization, and in demonstrating that these systems are comprehensible to a determined individual, not just black boxes produced by fabs.
It connects interestingly to the SICP lecture resurface, actually. The 1986 MIT video lectures from Abelson and Sussman, Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programs, are appearing on HN with 202 upvotes, and the comment thread is this lovely meditation on what it meant to learn computing when the whole stack was comprehensible to a single human mind. SICP's pedagogical philosophy was that understanding computation means being able to build up from first principles. The Home GPU project is that philosophy applied to hardware.
The HN thread on SICP also touched on how contemporary CS education has largely moved away from that approach. The curricula have shifted toward practical application in high-level languages and frameworks, which produces graduates who can ship software but sometimes lack the foundational understanding to reason about what's happening underneath. Whether that's the right trade-off is genuinely contested.
One more item in this segment, Jim's TrueType QR code font, which got 188 upvotes and 24 comments. This is a project that creates a TrueType font where each character renders as a QR code encoding that character or string. It's technically clever in a specific way. TrueType fonts support sufficiently complex Bezier curve rendering that you can encode the QR code geometry as font glyphs, meaning any application that renders text can render QR codes just by setting the font. No special library required, no custom rendering path.
The practical applications are narrow, but real. Embedded systems where adding a QR code library would be expensive. Document pipelines where the font approach fits naturally into existing text rendering, that sort of thing. But mostly, the HN community appreciates it because it's a genuinely creative solution to a specific problem, using the affordances of an existing standard in an unexpected way.